Today is November 28th, 2008, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, episode number 135, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, afternoon editor and co-publisher of the Mac Observer, co-founder.
I totally forgot to make that spinning wheel for you to pick a title. I'm sorry.
Columnist.
And all-around man about town.
et cetera. To get the full story of anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/AWR. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at AWR. At macobserver.com. You know, and while we're at it, while we're like throwing all these things at you, and don't worry, we're going to have edited out all that stuff that we messed up on, so you won't hear it. You can follow me on Twitter at, twitter.com/TMOBrian?
That would be you. And I'm twitter.com.
At TMOBrian. That's me in the Twitter speak.
That's right. And you are so hip on the Twitter speak. All right. And you can see what's going on inside my tiny little head at twitter.com/jgamet, and that's J-G-A-M-E-T.
Yeah, all good things. And I gotta say, I noticed one of the first things you said was that today is November 28th. That makes it the day after Thanksgiving. What the hell are we doing podcasting?
We are that dedicated. Okay, now I'm sure most people would patently disagree with us on that one. But no, really, we're that
dedicated. Our listeners right. The Apple Weekly Report. Monthly is better.
Brian, you entertain me, so thank you.
Likewise, brother, likewise. But we are this committed to getting back into the weekly thing of things that we are recording in the middle of our delicious 4-day weekend where we want to do anything but think about Apple.
And here we are.
And here we are because we love you. Because you're that important to us.
We actually love every single one of you individually in your own special way.
Yes. And collectively as a group.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Actually, you know, what's wonderful is that we've got such great listeners that even in the midst of, what we talked about it last week, Jeff had been in the middle of book writing hell for several weeks, and that really kept us from podcasting. And I had my own busyness thing going on. I was sick, and so we were both busy. And the point is that even though that was the case, our numbers have stayed solid. You guys keep listening to us, and we really appreciate it. We do have some great listeners.
We do. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. Speaking of great listeners, how about we talk about our sponsor this week, Smile on My Mac?
You know, I really love those guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that just because they're our sponsor this week, but they really are good people.
Yeah, know, by the way, folks, you'll know when we get a sponsor when we that we don't think as highly of when we don't say that.
Actually, yeah, you'll know if we're not excited about our sponsor, you will know.
you will know. But in the meanwhile, we are excited about Smile on My Mac, and they released something new, basically just in time for Christmas.
That was so sweet of them.
It was, wasn't it?
Disc Label 5.3.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, what does Disc Label do, Jeff?
Disc Label is actually a really cool program that lets you set up labels for CDs and DVDs, and you can also set up the liner notes and sleeves and jewel case inserts. So you can make your custom CDs or DVDs and then create very easily a professional looking wrapper to go around everything.
Oh, so if you get a case, you can put the printout that you've put together in a Disc Label. You can put it with that case and actually make it look pretty slick.
Exactly. So but I look at this as a really cool product if, say, you've decided as maybe a holiday gift to put together a DVD of everything you did throughout the year, and then you're going to give that away to friends and family. You can make these really great labels.
Or if you're a little less self-centered, maybe a movie of your kids.
Why would you want to do that? I can feel the hate mail pouring into my inbox already.
Yeah, but anyway, Jeff's point is right on track in that making movies, grandparents and great grandparents and whomever like to get things like that, and a lot of that does happen around the holiday season. So this is it's great timing for them to use this particular product to sponsor us with.
It is, and it ties in with iTunes and iPhoto, so it's easy to put your images and music together if you want to do that, and it works really well. Oh, here's another thing I like about it. If you have a light scribe printer, which actually does that kind of etched look on a CD or DVD, mm-hmm. It can work with those too.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
That's rock on. That's a rock out with your mouse out kind of thing. Did I really just say that?
Yeah, you really did. And dude, I totally bit my tongue because I was about to take us way out of the family friendly zone.
Yeah, well, I think that I kind of pointed you that direction. So with that in mind, let's get on with the news. Thanks to the folks at Smile on My Mac. Check out Disc Label 5.3. We've got links in the show notes so you can find it.
The Apple Lawsuit Express picked up yet another passenger. The UK axed an Apple iPhone ad. Facebook scored a judgment against a spammer. MYOB has a new owner. Apple's laptop ads went green. And we announce our Macworld Expo contest winners.
All aboard!
Fun with sound effects, and that would be the sweet, sweet sounds of the Apple Lawsuit Express picking up more passengers. Did you like that, Joe?
That was wonderful. And once again, thank you, Brian, for entertaining me.
You are welcome, sir. This week, the fine folks at Jeffer, Mangles, Butler, and Marmoro, that's JMBM for those in the know, announced the lawsuit against Apple on behalf of its client, EMG Technology. The firm has accused Apple of violating patent 7441196, or 196 for short, in the way Apple's iPhone displays web pages. Patent 196, Freudian slip, which was filed March 13th, 2006, and granted October 21st of 2008, that's like, a month ago, said in its abstract that it is, quote, a method and apparatus of simplified navigation. A web page is provided having a link to a sister site. The sister site facilitates simplified navigation. Pages from the sister site are served responsive to actuation of the sister site link. In one embodiment, the link or the sister site includes matrix pages to... that's just boring. The abstract is boring. But the point is yes, the patent covers the idea of having one site, say NBC.com, which is the example they actually used, redirect to m.nbc.com if you're on a mobile device. And according to an attorney in a statement that they released, the 196 patent covers the simplified interface of reformatted mobile content to provide optimum viewing and navigation with single touches on a small screen. How that's Apple's fault isn't exactly clear, but what is clear is that Apple has an Exxon Valdez amount of cash hanging around, and that's likely all that matters to the attorneys of Jeffer, Mangles, Butler, and Marmoro.
I just love that name. All right. An iPhone 3G commercial in the UK won't get any more airtime now that the UK's Advertising Standards Authority, or ASA for those in the know, has blocked the ad after receiving 17 complaints that it misrepresented the iPhone 3G's internet connection speed. The commercial in question stated that the iPhone's internet performance was quote-unquote really fast, and then showed a Google Maps page loading in less than a second. The commercial also displayed a disclaimer that stated, quote, network performance may vary by location, unquote. Now, Apple asserted that its performance claims were, quote, unquote, relative and not absolute. And I did do air quotes with that, just so you know. And that it was comparing the iPhone 3G to the original Edge-based iPhone. The ASE didn't buy Apple's argument, so the ad was banned as misleading. And this isn't the first time an Apple ad has run afoul of the ASA, and like those previous commercials, this one will probably just get shelved instead of reworked so that it can air again.
Facebook has won an $873 million U.S. judgment against a Canadian spammer who used phishing techniques and other methods to gain control of Facebook user accounts and then spammed other members from those accounts. Max Kelly, Facebook's director of security, made the announcement on the Facebook blog saying his company had successfully sued the spammer under the Controlling the Assault of Non-Solicited Pornography and Marketing Act, otherwise known as the CAN Spam Act. Get it? Adam Guerbez of Montreal and his company Atlantis Blue Capital are the particular spammers in question, though Facebook doesn't expect to actually be able to collect much, if anything, of the judgment from these clowns. Whether it will serve as a deterrent for future future spammers remains to be seen. For instance, Tim Byers at Motley Fool reminded us that MySpace earned a judgment of $230 million against a spammer earlier in 2008, but spam is pretty much all over the place in MySpace.
MYOB software distributor Acclivity announced on November 25th that it's acquired MYOB US and its Mac and PC development team from MYOB Limited of Australia. The deal means Acclivity can enter markets outside of the US, and the company is already working on plans to bring the MYOB accounting applications back to Canada. The company plans to continue developing First Edge, Account Edge, and Account Edge Network Edition, and will also drive global development of the Mac OS X-based business accounting products. It also stated that Australia and New Zealand Mac customers will continue to have access to the same products and support services that were available before the purchase.
Apple launched a new campaign Monday. That would be, what was that, November 24th?
That sounds about right.
Sorry about that, folks. That touts the environmentally friendly features of its new aluminum MacBook, MacBook Pro, and MacBook Air lineup. The commercial highlights the laptop's efficiency, recyclable parts, and reduced toxic chemical usage. The ad is available in QuickTime format at Apple's new Green Notebook webpage, and you can find the link to that in the show notes.
And TMO's Your Inner Bard contest is closed, and we picked our two winning haiku entries. And for those of you that aren't familiar with that contest, we're giving away a Power Tools pass and a user conference pass to Macworld Expo, which is coming up in January. So congratulations to Doug Grinbergs and Carrie Skinfill. There are two winners. Their entries won them passes to the Expo. And every entry that we got, it really was, they were all really worth an award. And we just don't feel right sending anyone away empty-handed.
No, sir.
So we aren't. Every contest entrant that is going to be attending Macworld Expo, they're going to get two tickets to our own Cirque du Mac 6.0 party, which I have to say really is a rocking event, and I'm not being biased, it really is. And contest participants, yes, you will be receiving an email from us really soon with additional details on how to get your tickets. And the contest winners, the haikus were great, but when I say that we had an epic winner, really, Doug's entry was an epic haiku. It actually detailed out an entire trip to Macworld and then back home again in multiple stanzas. So because of the length of the haikus that won, we're not going to read them to you here, but of course we will have a link to them in the show notes. So please go take a look and see just the incredible talent that these people gave us.
It was so epic. Yeah. The first line had 65 syllables. The second line had 91 syllables. And the third line had 65 syllables. I'm kidding, of course. It was a proper haiku. They were all proper haikus.
And they were all fantastic.
And speaking of the party, our party is a lot of fun. It's pretty much one of the only parties that's a party at Macworld.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not an industry schmooze event. It's actually a party.
It is, and it's an amazing event every year.
Yep, and this year we're moving to a new, bigger, better venue. We love the venue where we were, but the party just simply has outgrown it. Now we're going to be at the Broadway Studios.
So right.
It's a pretty big place. It's pretty cool, too. I was able to check it out a couple of months ago to make sure that it was going to work for us. And the party should be great. And the entertainment will be, we're probably going to do clowns again?
I would assume so, because that's kind of a tradition.
I don't know that we finalized that yet, but usually we have clowns, we have henna tattoo artists, and then, of course, the Macworld All-Star Band, which is made up of Paul Kent, the president of IDG, right, and Chris Breen, the noted Macworld columnist, Bob Levitis, the longtime book author, who is a columnist for us and the Houston Chronicle and has written about 72,000 books.
Right.
Dave Hamilton, our president here at TMO Inc. He plays a heck of a set of drums. I'm in the band playing a little guitar. We've got Chuck Laternis on bass, and we've got Dwayne Straub on bass too. So anyway, it's basically a band made up of writers.
And they're really good.
Despite being a band made up of writers.
Right. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Actually, it is amazing because there's so little time to rehearse, and you guys do a kick-ass job every year.
I tell you what, though, we rehearse once a year, whether or not we need it, and then we play.
That is awesome.
And yet, still, people seem to enjoy us. It's a strange thing.
Yeah, but there you go. You guys rock. So there you have it.
So yeah. So thanks for entering. We appreciate it. And with that, let's move on to the context machine. That sound means it is time for the context machine, where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on.
Your diction is incredible today.
Thank you. Let's talk about this lawsuit first.
Okay, so I read through this stuff, you read through this stuff, and I'm assuming we've both come to the same conclusion, which is, what the hell? How is this Apple's fault?
Yeah, it's weird. It really seems like the patent, you know, and patents are, you know, patents tend to be intentionally vague. The goal of most patent applications is to have it be as vague as possible to cover as much as possible while being specific enough to not be rejected. So
dude,
it's a
you
real
should
fine
so
balance.
Work for the government. That was fantastic.
Oh, thank you. It's a real fine balance that they try to achieve. But it really seems like, and please note that we're not patent attorneys, but it really seems like what this patent covers is when, to use their own example, NBC.com redirects to m.nbc.com when it's a mobile phone doing the requesting.
Right.
Or and like Google, what does Google redirect to?
I don't even remember. It might be like mobile.google.com.
It's something like that. Lots of sites do this. They've got this right. Sister site that is basically oftentimes stripped down or, you know, a different kind of
like a different layout that's more appropriate for a device like the iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. And now, how is that Apple's fault?
You know, I'm not sure because the way I see it is that the iPhone is going to send a user agent piece of information. It says, hey, I'm Mobile Safari. Mm-hmm. And so then the server that's actually feeding that site out is going to say, oh, hey, this is an iPhone. I have a different version of the site that's been formatted to look better on that device than the regular site. I'll send that instead.
Right. And it's google.com/news/m.
Okay.
By the way, just FYI.
Okay. I'll change that and yeah.
So, yeah. So if, you know, if a third party site is redirecting people, you know, why that's Apple's fault? I mean, I don't know. I am the last person that's going to just look at a lawsuit and reject it because they're suing Apple. Sometimes Apple does need to be sued because Apple is violating something. This doesn't seem to be one of those cases.
Now, if it turns out that there's something Apple is doing that completely rebuilds every website that comes mm-hmm. into the iPhone, then I could potentially see where there might be some crossover into this patent. But I don't think that's happening. I mean, why would you take a website that's being fed in and then completely repurpose it and then display it when you could just simply display the website?
Counter to what Apple even advertises. Of course, you know, what advertising says and what actually happens aren't necessarily the same. But Apple has pitched from the very beginning the fact that this is the real internet.
Right.
And I'll actually be kind of mad. I'm honest. I mean, I get annoyed that Google News won't give me the proper interface. I want the web interface. I actually don't want the simplified mobile interface that Google News gives me. That actually is something that I find annoying. But it's irrelevant. It's not being controlled by the iPhone. It's being controlled by Google.
Right.
So I don't know. I think these are just... These guys might well just be your typical bottom.
They're just looking for deep pockets.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's really interesting though. Deep pockets don't really tend to get much out of Apple, so it's interesting that so many folks are coming at Apple fast and furious.
Well, they're slow learners.
I guess.
Yeah,
I guess I don't really know. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this. Certainly. Certainly, I don't know. I think this is another example too of how the patent system has gone wacky.
Yeah, and now it may very well turn out that there's information in this patent that completely applies.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then I could see where this could become a big problem for other companies outside of Apple.
Yeah. Well, they'll just license it out. That's what they're looking for. They came up with the idea,
Sure.
They patented it, and they're just hoping to be able to give other companies that actually do something. To give them money to use the idea that they also came up with.
Right. And so if it turns out that Apple really is violating something and then they settle and do a licensing thing, I think it's pretty safe to assume that they would turn around and then go after RIM and other companies.
Google.
Google.
For the Android.
Exactly. And yeah, and then we'd see these other companies getting hit with similar lawsuits.
Yep. Yep. Well, so we'll have to watch and find out. You know, these suits tend to take a long time to play out. So, you know, don't look for an update tomorrow.
No, because
if we get an update, it might. Well, what's that?
Yeah, don't look for an update tomorrow. We're going to be asleep tomorrow.
oh, so true.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so true. Speaking of Apple being in a little bit of trouble, it's interesting that the UK, which has a tradition of keeping a much better or much tighter reins on what companies say in advertising, it's interesting that they've kind of slapped Apple down again.
Yes, and they certainly did. And in this case, they're saying that Apple is misleading people with the performance claims that they make with iPhone 3G and internet. And I think they could run the exact same ad in the United States and no one would bat an eye.
That is true. And certainly when it comes to the regulatory agencies.
Right. But, yeah, they got 17 different complaints about the ad, and apparently that was enough to take a look at it and say, "No, you're misleading people."
Yeah, it's interesting. Now I know that when the SEC gets complaints about some kind of broadcast violation, for instance, someone complaining about obscenity or indecency on the radio or TV, they actually have to investigate each one. But I don't really think that 17 complaints about people complaining about the iPhone 3G speed would really get much attention at all in this country. And I don't, you know, is that a good thing? I don't necessarily know. I think that the UK standards, advertising standards authority may have a case here with not wanting Apple to make these claims.
Yeah, and now on the Apple side, Apple says that they made it clear that the results that they were showing in the ad may not be typical. And, you know, here's what it comes down to. If we have listeners that want to let us know how they feel about this, like people that are actually living in the UK, if they like having this, compared to the United States, stricter control over the information that's being presented in commercials, I'd like to know. And not because I'm thinking, geez, why would anyone want this? But I'm curious what people are really thinking, whether or not this is a valid thing, or if it's just a situation where the government is putting their fingers too far into business. I don't know.
The government is putting their fingers too far into business?
I know that sounds like a shock that a government would ever do something like that.
It's your wording that I'm driving so much amusement from.
Okay, just so you know, I was actually thrusting my fingers in the air into the virtual business world that was in front of me.
Oh my! Oh my! Right. Anyway.
Yeah, just so you know, it looks really funny when I'm doing it too.
Yeah, so. Oh, I bet it does.
Yeah.
I bet it does. So if you're in the UK or if you've been in the UK or if you have some familiarity with the way the UK does this sort of thing.
Or if you can do a British accent. Crap, yeah.
Just, you know, let us know what you think. Hey, you know, Jeff, this is Thanksgiving week. It was kind of a slow week.
Right.
And there's just not that much more to talk about for the context machine. So what I was actually thinking of doing was, like, why don't we do, like, some sort of top 10 list of reasons to be thankful that we're not Windows users?
Oh, okay. I think that sounds like a great idea. And since you came up with the idea, it's probably appropriate that I come up with the first thing to be thankful for.
All right.
All right, so how about have you ever had to set up a new Windows machine? That's
nope.
Reason enough to be thankful to use a Mac right there.
All right. That's a good point. I think we're done. Actually, I have set up a Windows machine, and though it's been a while, I've certainly set up lots of Windows virtual machines on a Mac, which is, funny enough, much easier.
Yeah, okay, there's a bit of irony for you. It's easier to set up a Windows machine on a Mac.
It's easier to set up Windows on a Mac, too. I've run Bootcamp.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that really probably just about covered it. I'm definitely thankful for that.
Oh, yeah.
And so yeah, that's our Thanksgiving list for the week.
Our top 10 list, abridged.
Abridged. indeed. All right. On that happy note, take us to the quick tip. What are you going to show us today?
I'm actually going to talk about one of the new features in the iPhone software 2.2 update, which is the Google Maps Street View.
Okay.
And I love it. It's a great feature. But what I found was that actually figuring out how to use it wasn't quite as intuitive as I thought it would be initially. So if you want to use the new Street View feature in the Maps application, here's what you need to do. You need to first search and find a location. And then when you get the little pin that drops down on the map and then it gives you the little banner up above the pin that tells you what the location is, look to the left edge of that little banner flag and look for a little orange icon, sort of looks like a guy's shoulders and head. Tap that, and then that will zoom you into Street View, and then you can use your finger to flick around and move around and navigate through the Street View mode. And when you're done, in the lower right-hand corner of the Street View window is this little circle that shows you the direction that you're looking.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and so just tap that, and that'll take you back to the regular view. Now, if you don't have a specific location that you really want to search for and then do Street View, the workaround is to drop just a regular pin to mark a location. So instead of having the little red ball on top of the pin, you'll have a purple ball. And so when you drop that purple pin and you get the little flag above that showing that the location is, look for the orange icon at the left edge of that. Not every location will let you jump into Street View. So if you don't see that orange icon, it doesn't mean you did anything wrong. All it means is that specific location doesn't have Street View data yet.
Cool.
There you go. And of course, you can follow along the steps in the quick tip that I wrote about that, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes.
Excellent. Another great quick tip. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm just doing my part to make your life easier.
I know. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. And on that note, if you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to Steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. That's us.
Yes, it is, actually.
And, yeah. And as well as, who do we have right now? We've got Brad Cook doing stuff for us.
We do. And
Chris Berrylick.
Chris Berrylick, and then John Martellaro is now doing all kinds of really great analysis work for us.
Mm-hmm. And of course, our great staff of columnists and editorialists.
Right.
Right. So
we have a great team.
We do have a great team. We have a great team, and part of that sort of that great team is the fact that CashFly provides our bandwidth.
Yes.
Thanks, CashFly. And the bass was recorded by Boom. That was just for us, and then that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
You'll see us, or we'll see you, or both. It kind of depends, really, if you're looking through our windows, or I don't know, maybe we're looking through your windows, but be that as it may, it'll be at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com.